This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. And now you can try a bottle yourself, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com.
Welcome to another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. Thank you for joining me. You can email your questions, comments, topics of interest related to health and nutrition and wellness to radio program at AOL.com. That's radio program at AOL.com. Needless to say, you probably know that Dr. Hoffman and myself have been doing a lot of pushback on the recent American Heart assertion that saturated fats are bad, that coconut oil was never healthy, etc., etc. Well, I've got an interesting theory here about heart disease. We know that heart disease is the number one cause of death. If you've been reading our newsletter, Intelligent Medicine, you know that I've been pushing back on the AHA's comments with talking about things like inflammatory vegetable oils and how they create inflammation in the body, oxidized LDL, the dangers of very low cholesterol, because we know that cholesterol is a repair substance. So in line with all of that, I want to present to you today, and this is from the Townsend letter. I was really struck by this. Most of you know Linus Pauling, PhD, the late Linus Pauling, on his vitamin C, the magnificent effects of vitamin C and vitamin C therapies, and those who are deficient in vitamin C have health effects and so forth. And he himself succumbed, I believe, to prostate cancer in his 90s, but he himself was taking about 10 grams of vitamin C a day. He may have succumbed way sooner to cancer had he not been doing that. Very interesting. Anyway, in this article, all right, we know that heart disease is still the number one cause of death, right? I want to introduce an idea here, and this was originally published actually in the fall of 2016 by Daniel Cobb, and he talks about heart disease or cardiovascular disease. We're talking about coronary artery disease, the accumulation of damage in the coronary arteries, you know, that's associated with plaque deposits, high blood pressure, heart attacks. I want to introduce to you that maybe CVD, cardiovascular disease, CVD, should be substituted with the term chronic scurvy. You've heard of scurvy. It's a deficiency in vitamin C. So here's what we're talking about. Linus Pauling championed a nutritional treatment for cardiovascular disease / chronic scurvy called Pauling therapy. It's based on research into the relationship between CVD and vitamin C and was first publicly described in 1991. In the 25, 26 years since, despite its exceptionally high success rate, this therapy has rarely been used by mainstream cardiologists. So, what I'm proposing to you in this podcast, this article that I'm reading to you from, discusses renaming the condition from cardiovascular disease to chronic scurvy, which would focus attention on the true location of the pathology and ideally lead many more people to using Pauling therapy, Linus Pauling's therapy, to treat cardiovascular disease, CVD. The earliest known public pronouncement of the Pauling therapy was in 1991 when Linus Pauling and Matthias Rath, MD, examined a body of research and concluded that there was a connection between vitamin C and cardiovascular disease. That connection was based upon the observation that CVD is, at its core, an accumulation of damage to the collagen and elastin fibers in the artery walls. If you've been reading the Intelligent Medicine newsletter and my article on the dangers of very low cholesterol, you know I've talked about that cholesterol is actually the spackle. Would you blame the spackle for the crack in your living room wall? Giving you an analogy here. Why should cholesterol be blamed? And this really gives a viewpoint about cardiovascular disease. All right, so the accumulation at its core, CVD, an accumulation of damage to the collagen and elastin fibers in the artery walls. Vitamin C is required for the creation of replacement collagen fibers, as discussed in Pauling and Rath's resulting 1992 paper. And that paper concludes, quote, "In this paper, we present a unified theory of human cardiovascular disease. This disease is the direct consequence of the inability of man to synthesize ascorbate," ascorbate is vitamin C, "in combination with insufficient intake of ascorbate in the modern diet. Since ascorbate deficiency is the common cause of cardiovascular disease, ascorbate supplementation, vitamin C supplementation, is the universal treatment for this disease. The available epidemiological and clinical evidence is reasonably convincing. Further clinical confirmation of this theory should lead to the abolition of CVD as a cause of human mortality for the present and future generations of mankind." Imagine, that's what struck me about this article. So, such was the success of their treatment therapy that perhaps Pauling and Rath then dusted off their hands and thought to themselves, we're done with this disease, cardiovascular disease. Unfortunately, the rest of the world has moved at a glacial pace in taking advantage of their breakthrough ideas. Although Pauling and Rath's resulting treatment has yet to reach mainstream medicine, it has not fallen entirely on deaf ears. The small group of people who are confident to research their own medical challenges, make their own medical decisions, have frequently discovered some version of Pauling therapy and are routinely reversing their CVD / chronic scurvy. Remember, in this article, for the sake of this podcast today, we are calling cardiovascular disease CVD. We are calling it chronic scurvy. We are approaching it as an ascorbate deficiency. So, but what about the vast majority of people who depend upon conventional medicine for their heart disease treatment choices? When will they be advised by their cardiologist that their heart disease can be reversed in a matter of months instead of being mired in a managed disease for the rest of their lives? What follows, what I'm going to read to you, what follows is an attempt to point out what has gone wrong and how it might be fixed. The conventional viewpoint for preventing and treating CVD is to focus the discussion on the plaque deposit blood clot combination. This is how cardiologists treat CVD. Doctors are often asked to look at a system that has failed, analyze what went wrong, and propose a solution, right? In the case of death from heart attack in a patient in whom plaque deposit suddenly became a 100% blockage, doctors instinctively look at the plaque deposits and then work backward. Almost all medical proposals refer to the deadly plaque deposit. Remember, the spackle, the plaque deposit. Medical professionals discuss the fatty nature of the plaque, the cholesterol, the calcium buildup, the oxidized fatty acids, the blood clot, how to remove these problems, and how to prevent them. The medical community has been proposing solutions for heart attacks caused by these plaque blood clot combinations for decades, but heart disease still remains the number one disease cause of death. Now, a holistic viewpoint. The holistic approach for treating CVD is quite different. To understand how the nutritional treatment of chronic scurvy works, the plaque deposits must be viewed from a different perspective. And this is what I found really interesting in this article that I wanted to share with you. So let me continue. If the disease itself is to be found, the area underneath the plaque deposits must be examined. Again, we want the cause. What caused those plaque deposits, right? That's holistic. It is there, underneath the plaque deposits, it is there that weak and damaged artery walls are found. Patients who have plaque deposits in the coronary arteries have chronic scurvy. Fascinating, isn't it? Scurvy is essentially a bleeding disease. Chronic scurvy differs from normal scurvy only in degree and the body's response. Both have at their core the inability to repair and replace collagen fibers in the vascular tissue, which leads to the resulting failure of that vascular tissue to contain the blood. The difference between the two conditions of scurvy appears because where scurvy results from several months of near zero levels of vitamin C, you know, like those British sailors out at sea, the Limeys, they were called. Chronic scurvy results from years, if not decades, of inadequate levels of vitamin C, which allows the body a chance to mount a secondary defense. Let me remind you that we human beings don't have the ability to secrete or produce endogenous vitamin C. We need to get that from diet. But there's another competitor here. You may be a good consumer of fruits and vegetables, but did you know that high blood glucose levels compete with vitamin C levels in the body and win? Most people in America are walking around in a pre-diabetic state metabolic syndrome. The criteria for those conditions include high blood glucose. This actually supports this theory of chronic scurvy in the population, which may be a cause of atherosclerosis, of cardiovascular disease. So, because of this chronic scurvy, if I go on with this, the body needs a chance to mount a secondary defense. Relevant comments from the Pauling and Rath paper state, and I'm quoting, "The invariable morphological consequences of chronic ascorbate deficiency, that's chronic vitamin C deficiency, in the vascular wall are the loosening of the connective tissue and the loss of the endothelial barrier function. Thus, CVD is a form of pre-scurvy. The multitude of pathomechanisms that lead to the clinical manifestation of CVD are primarily defense mechanisms aiming at the stabilization of the vascular wall. After the loss of endogenous ascorbate production during the evolution of man, these defense mechanisms became life-threatening. They counteracted the fatal consequences of scurvy, and particularly of blood loss, through the scorbutic vascular wall. Remember, we need ascorbate. We need vitamin C for collagen, for endothelial function, to keep the coronary arteries elastic, not hardened, right? So, the arteries are a high-pressure system compared to the veins. A primary purpose of the artery is to contain the body's blood, right? If enough damage accumulates in one area of an artery, it may become weak enough that breakthrough bleeding occurs. Whenever there is damage to the artery walls, the first order of business is to repair the damage. Of course, our bodies are elegant at coming in and saving the day as much as possible. These repairs require a collection of nutrients. But what happens if one or more of those nutrients are absent or in short supply? Repairs get backlogged and the arteries get weaker. When the arteries get to the point where breakthrough bleeding becomes a danger and the required repairs cannot be made due to nutrient deficiencies, the body has a plan B. It builds up a layer of material on the inside of the artery wall to protect the damaged artery wall against the force of the blood pressure. This, of course, is plaque deposits, but could be called, quote, nature's perfect Band-Aid, end quote. This phrase can be used to remind people that the plaque deposits are not pathological, but instead are an adaptive response to weakened artery walls. The body purposely develops plaque deposits, and they are saving the patient's life by preventing the possibility of breakthrough bleeding. A quote from the Pauling and Rath paper shows that this idea was proposed 25 years ago. The genetic countermeasures are characterized by an evolutionary advantage of genetic features and include inherited disorders that are associated with atherosclerosis and cardiovascular disease, CVD. With sufficient ascorbate vitamin C supply, these disorders stay latent. However, in ascorbate deficiency, they become unmasked, leading to an increased deposition of plasma constituents in the vascular wall and other mechanisms that thicken the vascular wall. This thickening of the vascular wall is a defense measure compensating for the impaired vascular wall that had become destabilized by vitamin C deficiency. So, the positive resolution of this scenario involves making sure that the nutrients required to catch up on the backlog of vascular tissue repairs are in abundant supply. Long story short, take your vitamin C. When these nutrients are adequately supplied and the arteries are repaired, thus removing the reason for the plaque deposits, plaque deposits gradually disappear on their own. Fascinating. Treating chronic scurvy nutritionally because it addresses the cause almost always works. This is why in this author's clinic, there is a saying that heart disease is easier to treat than low back pain. So, why name this disease chronic scurvy? The following is a discussion of two different approaches to address CVD slash scurvy and how terminology makes a difference in the prescribed treatment. Let's look at an example of a patient who consults with a holistic, nutritionally oriented physician. The doctor names the patient's disease atherosclerosis, which describes the complex development of the plaque deposits in a major artery. The holistic doctor and the patient discuss a nutritional treatment in terms of how it would heal and remove the plaque deposits When the patient leaves the consultation, his attention is focused on the plaque deposits. The patient then often returns to his cardiologist and asks, "How do I get rid of the plaque deposits?" Most of the time, will steer the patient into conventional treatment because conventional treatment appears to be designed to fight those plaque deposits. These patients will manage their chronic disease for the rest of their lives. In the second example, a patient consults with a holistic, nutritionally oriented healthcare professional. This doctor and patient discuss the patient's condition using the term chronic scurvy instead of atherosclerosis or CVD. It is made clear to the patient that this is a disease of weakened connective tissue in the arteries, and the discussion centers around which nutrients are required to repair the connective tissue. When the patient leaves this consultation, her focus is on treating chronic scurvy by nutritionally facilitating repairs to the artery walls. The patient then wants to discuss this treatment recommendation further with her cardiologist. She asks the cardiologist, "How do I treat my scurvy? Not the plaque deposits, as was in the first example, right? Stay with me." She asks her cardiologist, "How do I treat my scurvy?" Almost everyone who has grown up in the United States learned in grammar school that European explorers frequently died from scurvy when they were on long voyages, hence the limey reference I made earlier, and that scurvy was later determined to be caused by vitamin C deficiency. So the discussion in the doctor's office starts with vitamin C. Looking further into the disease, the patient will learn that scurvy is a connective tissue weakness that results in internal bleeding. Other nutrients to support collagen and connective tissue production may be added to the treatment. It is worth noting that the nutritional protocols outlined by the two holistic doctors are probably almost identical, and both would work to reverse the disease. The difference is that naming the disease scurvy rather than atherosclerosis, rather than cardiovascular disease, keeps the focus on the actual pathology in the artery walls. In this way, the treatment focus stays on the integrity of the arteries and does not wander back to the plaque deposits. Hence my reference to my last article in the newsletter about cholesterol, that it's a spackle. It is not to be blamed. And indicting fat and cholesterol for hardening of the arteries, as I'm quoting by Dr. Meyer Texan, is like accusing white blood cells of causing infection, right? So this is very, very interesting. And this is from an article from the Townsend Letter, May 2017. Stop fixing the adaptive response. Why cardiovascular disease should be named chronic scurvy, by Daniel Cobb, OMD. Bravo. This is a wonderful, wonderful article. I thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.